Good evening. In his lecture in December 1965, at the end of his lecture, Suzuki Roshi said, "Everyone knows Zazen is difficult, but we should not give it up. In a busy country like America, there must be some time to spare for Zazen." This was a very polite way of saying to us, find a way and don't give up. And a little bit earlier in the 1960s, a young man came to the place that was the San Francisco Zen Center at the time, and he came to see Suzuki Roshi, and he said to him, "I want to know about Zen. Can you teach me?" And Suzuki Roshi said to him, "We sit every morning at 5:30. Can you join us?" Now, this response to such an inquiring question, it reveals everything without explaining anything. His answer, turns the seeker's mind away from intellectualizing and thinking. Turns his mind away from thinking about what Zen is or what it is supposed to be. So in his very quiet and inviting way, Suzuki Roshi is subtly asking this new student to set aside his pursuit of ideas of Zen, but instead to physically engage in the practice. And he tries to reorient this young man away from himself, away from I and me. He orients him to others, towards we and us. Just in that simple response. And at the same time, Suzuki Roshi is encouraging this young man to begin a journey away from isolation and towards community. You can join us. Not should. You can join us. You can join us. Now, in a monastery, of course, the monks are not so politely invited. They're not so politely invited to come to the zendo before the sun is up. It's a requirement. It's part of the rules. And if a monk doesn't come one morning, he is admonished and maybe even punished first time. Eventually, he would get kicked out of the monastery if he remains stubborn about getting to the zendo at the prescribed time. That's what happens in the monastery. Hard and fast rules, and you must abide by them. Suzuki Roshi recognized, of course, that the lay people in the U.S. Cannot be treated that way, so strictly. So he encouraged them, he encouraged us, very gently, without expectations. In the monastery, the monk is expected to be on his cushion at the time the bell rings, expected. But Suzuki Roshi didn't say should. He said, "You can if you want to." So his way was to encourage us gently without having expectations. And we were left to decide for ourselves what is right. But he also knew that changing the start time from 5:30 a.m. to something else would soften the practice for Americans, and that would be a mistake. So here in the West, here in the U.S., when people are new to Buddhism and Zen, usually they are very surprised, even shocked, that the traditional starting time is 5:30 in the morning. And they start to wonder, how is it possible to fit that into their lives? With the responsibilities of jobs, responsibility of families, and other responsibilities. How to do that? So, in thinking about that question, it's a perfect koan, absolutely perfect. It forces us, individuals, when we come to the practice at first and hear that start time and wonder, it's a perfect koan, because it forces us to consider what the practice means to us. How vital is it in my life? How much comfort and convenience am I willing to give up for this practice? What accommodations do I have to make with my family and my bosses? And the most important consideration, greater than all of those, is the depth of feeling that goes beyond the logic. And like it says in on Saturday morning, when we have our longer service, we do one of the traditional chants called the Song of the Jewel Mirror Samadhi. And one of the lines is, the meaning is not in the words, yet it responds to the inquiring impulse. Suzuki Roshi had his own way of saying that. He called it our innermost desire. Innermost desire. Not a desire that comes from wanting things. not a desire that comes from greed, but something more fundamental. Innermost desire. The inquiring impulse. So when we think about this practice and what we have to accommodate to be part of it, it is that feeling that is the most important consideration. So we talk about spirituality and our spiritual nature. It is not a single dimension of who we are. It is not just one of our characteristics or one of our capabilities. It's not in the same way as being left-handed, having blue eyes, being the mother of two small children, being a dentist. Our spirituality is not in that category, not just one more dimension of who we are. We are all inherently spiritual beings. It's not something in our DNA or something in our genes. It's before there are, before there is DNA and before there are genes. We are inherently spiritual beings. But we all have very strong intellectual energies and very strong ego energies, and they block the recognition that we are inherently spiritual. But when we do get a small glimpse, it awakens the inquiring impulse. And then we want to know more. We want to go deeper. And this inmost desire is the basis of our practice. So here at Kanando, we continue the traditional practice of Zazen at 5:30 in the morning. So on the average, you know, over the years, on the average maybe 10 people come. Sometimes there are as many as 20. Sometimes there are just two or three. And so we recognize that this is a real challenge to people who have very busy and committed lives. It's a real challenge. And so we say, if you can't come every day, come once a week. If you cannot come once a week, come once a month. If you can't come once a month, come once a year. Everyone is encouraged to find a way to make accommodations in their schedules so that they don't lose touch with their practice and with the tradition. But anyway, we should ask ourselves, why all this emphasis on Zazen in the pre-dawn hour, before the day has begun? It's still dark. Why has this practice been so important in the Buddhist tradition and in other religious traditions? You know, over the centuries, this has been an important practice for monks to sit so early. Now, in part, of course, it is to teach self-discipline to the young monks who are still teenagers, to help them let go of comforts, to help them let go of attachments, to help them mature. But, you know, if we look at this practice with a wider view, you know, beyond its use for building character, we can recognize its religious meaning as the deepest expression of a person's spiritual nature. You know, before the mind has become engaged in the busy affairs of the everyday world, when it is open, when it is ready, and when it is uncluttered. So it means that we come to sit when the mind is able to subtly discern its absolute nature and feel the fundamental divinity that it shares with all things. Sitting in Zazen at dawn provides a sense, gives us a sense of being born with the new day. And at the same time, a sense of giving birth to it. There is a feeling of our turning darkness to light, along with a perception of the inherent unity of everything. The mind becomes pliant and responsive, ready to face the new day with equanimity and confidence. And so the result is peace of mind and composure. That's all I wanted to say tonight. So, does anybody have any questions? Yes, please.
I just want to know, can you do this at home? Can you do this at home? Get up at 5:30 and I'm new to this, so.
Yes, of course you can. It's best to sit with others, but sometimes that's not feasible. The next best thing is to find a way to do it on your own. Sure, of course you can. Thank you.
Question.
Oh, okay, Andy? Yes.
Is it possible to get delusional even about Zazen? Or is Zazen the absolute truth?
To get what about Zazen?
Is it possible to get delusional even about Zazen? Or is Zazen the absolute truth?
We need to have... It's important to have a selfless attitude about Zazen. If we have the idea that we can gain something, that's a delusion. But if that happens, we can go way off base. We have to approach Zazen with no expectations, with no idea of gaining anything. Just here I am. Ken.
Say all we need to do is set Zazen in Zen. What purpose, if any, does the written word that we see in the library and the building we study and the beginner's mind that we study, what purpose does that play?
The written word and the intellect can encourage us, can give us ideas that will awaken the inquiring impulse.
Does imagination play a role?
Of course. We don't want to be passive. We need to express our skills and our capabilities and our assets. as long as the use of the intellect encourages our practice, encourages us to continue to have an open mind, not to get hung up on any one idea, just say, oh, that's interesting, and go back to selflessness. So, you know, we don't encourage burning all the books. We encourage, careful consideration and thinking deeply about what we are discovering. Oh, yes, please.
So I'm just wondering what role regular zazen plays in changing us, or changing our character. If you sit zazen, or if you don't sit zazen, what's the difference?
Could you say it again, please?
So I'm wondering, you say that we should go into zazen without expecting anything, but is there a benefit to it? Does it change us? Does it change our character if we sit regularly?
There is another component to that, that is our attitude. If we come to this practice without expectations or without desire for gaining anything, even without a desire to change our character or to put an end to bad habits, even that kind of desire has to be put aside. In the beginning, of course, your question is very common. What will be the value of this? Have to make this effort, have to make this accommodation. Is there a value? This is a normal way of thinking. But if you allow yourself to get into it for a little while, those considerations start to diminish. You don't think about that anymore. You just come and do it. In the beginning, it's a very normal question. So really, the answer to the question is patience. And the answer will come to you. Thank you. Yes, Richard.
I'm pretty intrigued by your talk. And there's kind of a tension between in my life, in my mind, between being overly strict with myself and overly lax. And when I right after high school, I was in the Navy for a few years. And they, at 0400, they would come in and encourage us to get out of bed. They'd bang on these trash cans at 4. I'd stand on the floor before my eyes were open. That was pretty extreme, but, you know, I struggle between being too strict with myself and too lax. If I'm too strict, I find my life feels kind of rigid and kind of empty. kind of lonely and empty sometimes. And if I'm too lax, there's, you know, other problem. So how does each person find their own balance or of that, or is it better to just sit at 5:30?
Both. You know, you come and you sit, and you allow your intuition to get sharp so that you can recognize when you go to this extreme or when you go to this extreme, and you allow your mind to play trial and error with responses to different situations, and you start to notice when you were too rigid, and you notice when you were too lax, and you learn how to, just by paying attention to yourself, to your own responses, to your own life. This is what everybody does, and they do it in their own way. And the way we learn to pay attention is, of course, 5:30 zazen. So both. Thank you.